Christmas's book, Sacred Marriage, on the table. It's subtitled, What If God Designed Marriage to Make Us Holy More Than to Make Us Happy? To be honest with you, somebody gave me a copy of this book some years ago, and I didn't like the subtitle. I thought, well, why make a big deal about that? Can't you be holy and happy, for crying out loud? So I didn't read it. And then I was flying somewhere, and I thought, yeah, okay, I'll take it with me and start reading it. Well, I devoured it. It's one of the best books I've ever read on marriage, and it'll help you. It'll strengthen your marriage. It'll direct your marriage. I don't have too many copies out there left, but any copy of this you can get is worth reading. This is dynamite, and we've used the material in it. We've used it in counseling and helping, directing. This is a dynamite book. There's quite a few others there, several books about raising teenagers. I got a book for young men out there, an old book that's been reprinted from J.C. Ryle. And the young guys, it's easy to read. I think it's got like six chapters. It's a little bit brutal. It's a little bit hard. But it's a dynamite book for young men. That's on the table. At least look it over. If you get nothing else, get our prayer card. Because don't you agree I need prayer? Don't you agree with that? And don't you think my wife needs prayer? She's married to me. Don't y'all think of that? And don't y'all think you need practice? So get a prayer card. And pray for us, and it gives you information about our podcasts and all that as well. Beth and I actually, we had been asked to start a podcast, and it was one of those things, like, we don't know what a podcast is, and we kept putting it off, and then COVID hit, and when COVID hit, we were home for the first time in 20 years. We were home 10 straight weeks, and during those 10 weeks, a friend of ours who works for Moody Radio, he called and said, I've been asking you to start a podcast for years. And he said, if I helped you, would you do it? And I said, well, I sure. And so he told me what to buy in order to do the recording, and he actually does all the work. He's our producer now. Beth and I do all the studying, and then we record it. We send it to him, and he does everything else. But it's been very well received. We have been amazed at how many people every month will listen to our podcast. Last month was 15,000 people, and we were amazed by that, just really overwhelmed. And so check it out. We cover everything. If you go to the podcast website, keepingityoungpodcast.com, there's over 200 episodes on there about just all kinds of things. We even talk, Bethley has a series on there about menopause for you ladies. And we talk about training children, disciplining children, handling special needs, blended families. You can find it all on there. Put it in the search engine, what you're looking for there on the website, and you'll probably find an answer. So take advantage of that. I won't say a great deal about that the rest of the week, but I wanted you to know about it. I may mention a few more books, but take advantage of that if it'll be a help and an encouragement to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Are you ready for God's word? Yeah. All right. The Bible says these words beginning in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Say it with me. Amen. These are great verses, aren't they? This is a prayer. Now, I would suggest to you this week that in this revival meeting, you ought to read this prayer a couple of times and maybe pray it. Pray it for yourself. Just talk to the Lord about it and say, Lord, I want to be strengthened with might. I want Christ to dwell in my heart. I want to know the love of God. I want to experience all the fullness of God. I want to know you as the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Pray about it. Pray it for your children. Pray it for your grandchildren. Pray it maybe for a mom or dad. Certainly pray it for a friend. These are wonderful words. Some years ago, we were traveling, and in our travels, it's always been one of the fun parts is our travels. We've been to 48 states so far preaching the Word of God, and I think probably five or six countries at least, maybe seven countries now. And in our travels, one of the things we've always enjoyed is after you've been up north in the wintertime and it's cold, and you know, and all of a sudden you start heading south. There's a point when you start getting south and the sunshine, you know, starts warming you up, and it's really, you know, this is a good move. We're going south. Somebody said to me one time that if you need to be saved in the north in the wintertime, good luck, because evangelists go south. And I thought, now that's really a sad thing to say, isn't it? But nonetheless, there is some truth to that. We left, I don't know where we'd been, but we were actually going home to Florida. And we were going down I-65. Some of you have been on I-65. We went down, you know, through Kentucky on I-65 from Louisville. We got down to Nashville, Tennessee. Beautiful day. Had the kids in the truck. I had the RV behind me. I was pulling our fifth wheel. Now we have a motorhome. Back then was a fifth wheel. And we finally got out of Tennessee, hit Alabama, the Tennessee-Alabama border. If you've ever gone down I-65 south of the Tennessee-Alabama border, not far below there, you cross the Tennessee River. And for a while, you go out on the bridge. You're over the swamp, just the swamp. And then here's the river. And you know how bridges are, right? When you get to the river, you go up. And then you crest. And then you come over there right in the center of the river. So let the barges and, you know, the other things go underneath the bridge there. Well, it was a beautiful day. Day started beautiful. It was warm. The sunshine. We're happy. We're going home. It was a happy time. And just happily traveling along I-65, not a care in the world. I'd done preaching for a while. I'm going home. And I got on that bridge. And I got on that bridge where it starts going up. And I was almost, you know, cresting the top there when my truck did something that I had never experienced before. My truck coughed. My truck coughed. It just coughed. And I thought, well, that's weird. My truck just coughed. It just, you know, the whole truck kind of shook. It was just like it had a cold. It coughed. And I thought, what in the world? And then it coughed again. And the second time it coughed, I started panicking. All right, something's wrong. It's not normal. And, you know, I'm on the bridge and on I-65, and I got a 40-foot RV and, a truck full of kids. And I panicked. I looked down at my dashboard, and that is when I noticed for the first time that my fuel light was on. First time I noticed that. And in my truck, I don't know how your vehicle is, but my truck has a little readout up here in the console, you know, in the center, and it tells you up here how many miles are left till you have to, you know, no fuel left. And I saw that light, and I thought, oh, no, oh, no. And I looked up, and you know how many miles I had left? None. And there it was, slap dab zero. I'd never experienced that before. And my truck coughed. Now, that'll help your prayer life. How many of y'all know that? And I was praying, oh, Lord, help us get over the top at least. Oh, Lord, you know, help the angels fan this thing or something and blow us on down the road. Well, I was planning to stop at the next exit because there's a place I get fuel. I had a plan. Had no idea I was out of fuel, though. I got over the top, coasted off of that bridge. It was beginning to shake. The truck was beginning to shimmy, and it was doing more than coughing at that point. And finally, here I was. I managed to get off the bridge and coasted to the side of the road. I was running on empty. I was flat on empty. Sat there a few moments. Good thing I'm in such good shape. Because I got out and went jogging down the interstate to the next exit. And I took that exit. And, you know, exits are longer than you would think when you're jogging them. And I jogged off that exit. And there's an Amoco service station right there. And I jogged into there and bought 2 1-gallon gas cans, you know. And they wanted a fortune for them. But I was prepared to pay a fortune. And got up there to the counter and I remember putting those gas cans on that counter. And the guy, you know what the guy said? He said, did you run out of gas? No, I was going to put milk in them. Yeah. I filled them up. And now it's a whole different ballgame. Boys, running down the interstate is pretty easy. It wasn't too bad. Going back with 2 1-gallon cans in each hand is a whole other ballgame. And I got insecure about it. I started feeling insecure. I'm going up the interstate carrying 2 1-gallon fuel cans, and here's all these cars, zoom. And I started feeling insecure. I knew they were making fun of me. I knew that. Look at that idiot. Look at that idiot. You know, ran out of fuel. I bet that's his RV back there on the side of the road with the flashers on. And they'd have been right. See, I was running on empty. Here's something interesting. Do you find it interesting that Paul, when he prayed for the church at Ephesus, prayed that they would be full, that they wouldn't live on empty, that they would live on full? Did you pick up on that? Because what he prays is that you would be full of the Spirit, full of Christ, full of love, and be filled with all the fullness of God. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because if you notice that many people in our culture, can I say it like this, we live on empty. We just barely survive in our culture. We're running faster than we ought to. We're busier than we ought to be. How many families do you know that are sincere? We want our kids to do well, but who has time to have family devotions? We run our families on empty. There are people in this room tonight, and you're in church on a Sunday night, so obviously you're good people. You could have stayed home tonight. After all, it is like frigid out there. But you got out and braved the cold and the wind and showed up in church tonight, so obviously you're good people. But you know, there's people in this room tonight, you don't have time much for God's word and seldom ever kneel for prayer. You know what I'm finding about our culture? We're living on empty. That's normal to our culture. Many of us are empty. We're busy and life is hard. We find ourselves hurt by sin and struggling with sin's curse, and empty is the word to describe us. You ever notice how empty our world is? How empty must a person be to choose adultery over the spouse they chose to marry? How empty must a man be to return again to a bottle of booze or to a marijuana joint or to a needle that has already ruined his life? How empty must our world be when we fill every waking moment with one screen image after another and go to bed most every day of our life exhausted and unhappy and lonely? Most of us are empty. Now, sin is always empty. How many of y'all know that? Sin is always empty. No matter what sin promises you, it can't give you what it promises. Teens, don't you miss that tonight. No matter what sin promises you, sin can never deliver on its promise. It has never delivered one promise to anybody, and you won't be the first. It always leaves you empty. It'll promise you peace and leave you with turmoil, promise you fun, leave you with failure, promise you freedom, leave you with bondage and slavery. Sin promises power, leaves you powerless. Offers you joy, leaves you sad. Offers you love, leaves you broken. Offers you healing, and leaves you full of pain and sorrow. Yes, our culture is living on empty, but most of us are too. Y'all know the name George Foreman? Do you know that name, George Foreman? I assume you do. In the book George Foreman wrote called God in My Corner, he said, you know, money never filled my void. The author said he had more cash in the bank than most could dream of. He had 3 homes, 12 cars, and a ranch, yet with all that stuff, he felt unfulfilled. Would another car, he said, make me happy? One more house? Some mysterious piece of the puzzle was missing, but I didn't know where to find it. More than once, George Foreman said, more than once I toyed with the idea of driving my car over a cliff. Now, how in the world can you have all the money in the world? 3 houses and a ranch and more cars than you can drive and no happiness in your life. Brothers and sisters, it's indicative that we are a world that is empty. We're running on empty. And the world doesn't know any better, but we should. And yet, apparently, it's pretty common because 2,000 years ago, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that they would live on full. So let's talk tonight about the fullness we need, okay? The fullness we need. Let me give you several thoughts, all right? Number one, let's just jump in here and get started right away. Here's the fullness we need. Number one, we ought to be full of the Spirit of God. Now, I preached on that in Sunday school, so I don't want to re-preach that sermon, but let's just tie it all together tonight, starting in verse 16. If you got verse 16, say amen. Amen. All right. He says, now here's what I'm praying, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I suppose we could say right there, couldn't we? That's another way of saying be filled with the Spirit. Would you agree with that? Be Spirit-filled. Let the Spirit of God do a work in your life. He is God. You are indwelt. You have his power. You can have his strength. You do not have to live your life empty. The Spirit of God can help you to live on full. If I said to you tonight, are you Spirit-filled? How would you answer that? I'm not in real time. Are you aware of the Spirit of God? He lives inside of you. How many of y'all know that? And yet most of us ignore him, don't we? Wouldn't it be weird to go to somebody's house and walk in and nobody even greet you? Wouldn't it be weird to go to somebody's house and they just ignore you the whole time? You wouldn't stay there long, would you?
You'd feel awkward about that. No wonder the Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He lives inside of us. And if we're an average church, you know, most of us never think about that. When's the last time you were aware the Spirit of God is in my life and I need him? My wife and I went on a date some years ago, and we went on this date, our weekly date. We got in our car, Pastor, and we're going on our date. We're this excited. We're going on our date, our weekly date. And we go out and get a restaurant, one we like to go to. We got our food, sat at this table, got the waiter brought our food. And I said to my sweetheart, I said, let's pray before we, you want to pray? And I prayed, I think I prayed, and I'm holding her hand there on the table. Our food is here. I'm holding her hand. Said, let's pray. And we prayed. And then my wife didn't turn loose of my hand. Instead, she burst into tears. And my wife, she burst into tears. And she was like, honey, I don't know what's wrong with me. And the next thing you know, my Bethley Joy, my sweetheart, just kind of unloaded. She's in tears. Here we are in a restaurant on our date. And how many of you men are like me? When my wife starts crying, it worries me. Y'all with me on that? And come on, brothers, help me out here. When my wife starts crying, I'm worried. You know, something's wrong here. So my wife's crying, and I don't know what to do with tears. I just don't know what to do. My wife, you know, she's okay with tears. I don't know what to do with tears. My wife, we were first married. I came home one day. We were newlyweds. Walked into our little apartment, and she was in tears. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she said, nothing. I just needed a good cry. Pastor, I'm 54. I have never in my life needed a good cry. So I don't get this. So my wife, we're on a date, and we're on a date, and my wife just burst into tears at this table. Honey, I don't know what's wrong with me. She said, I don't feel well. I'm not sleeping well. I can't rest. I don't feel good. I'm not sleeping well. She said, I get mad at people easily. And she said, in fact, I just want to kill people in the name of Jesus. Now, she didn't say it like that. But what in the world? Now, look here. I just want y'all to know something. Well, I don't know what to do about this. I mean, I'm a man. You'd think, you know, as much as I preach and teach on the family, I ought to know what to do here. I don't know what to do about this. My sweet, we're on a date. She's in tears in the middle of this restaurant. I don't know what to do about this. Did you know that the Spirit of God is real time? Did you know that? Brothers, I don't have the answers for my wife there. But you know what I did? I did ask the Spirit of God to fill me. Now, I didn't pray out loud, you know, in the middle of her tears. I wasn't like, oh, Lord, thy word says all my... I didn't pray like that. But I will tell you, my heart was in tune with the fact that I have the Spirit of God in my life. And as my wife's sharing her heart with me over here, I don't know what to say. I know something's not going right. And it's not me. She's just not feeling well and emotionally struggling a little bit, she said. And so I said in my heart, boys, in real time, right there at a table on a date, I said, now, Lord, I need wisdom. Oh, God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to say here. See, the Spirit of God's real time. Y'all see that? And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you know what happened at that table? I was Spirit-filled. I'm not running on empty right here. I'm full of the Spirit. I asked the Spirit of God, fill me, strengthen me, help. My wife's in tears, help. And you know what? I was Spirit-filled. And in all honesty, I didn't know what to say there. I'm not that smart. I don't have enough, you know, brilliance for that. But the Spirit of God filled me. And I was able to look across that table and hold her hand and say, honey, I don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you this, I love you. And if we need a doctor, we'll get a doctor. No matter what happens, when it's all said and done, I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. And whatever's happening, we'll get through this together. You know what? We found out later, my wife was going through menopause. Some of you ladies been there, haven't you? And that's a change of time. That's a real thing. Did y'all know that? And you better know it because you could die. You could get killed in that time. That's a serious time. But see, you got to be filled with the Spirit. As in Las Vegas, Nevada, preaching, going to a prayer meeting. The church was having a prayer meeting for the men down at a restaurant. I was preaching, not gambling. I was preaching. In Las Vegas, Nevada. And I got in the truck Saturday morning to kick off the revival. The men's having a prayer meeting at a restaurant in their banquet room. I got in the truck, drove up the interstate, took the exit, stopped at the Las Vegas Strip, the Las Vegas Boulevard, right in the heart of Sin City, USA. There I am at a traffic light. I'm going to a prayer meeting. I got my Bible. I'm walking with God. I'm doing what's right. I'm trying to please God. And right across the highway there, I think it was like six lanes, but right over there was a billboard, not as big as the back of your auditorium, but it was pretty big.
is a digital billboard, flashing lights, and I'm at this traffic light, and all of a sudden, right there in front of me, I'm talking about larger than light, was just the most risque images in the world. All these dancers, I'm telling you, all over that screen right there in front of me, and it was ungodly, it was inappropriate, it wasn't right. I wasn't in some chat room. I wasn't at some so-called gentleman's club. I'm going to a prayer meeting trying to walk with God, and all of a sudden here right in front of me is all these images. You know what? The Spirit of God is real, and He operates in real time. So I'm in the front seat of a pickup truck. All of a sudden, here's all these images. Well, that's not right to look at, but it's right there. You know what I did? Real time. God, help. That's about the extent of my praying right there. God, help. Spirit of God, I prayed like this. Thy purity. Spirit of God, I want your purity. I need help. Well, the Spirit of God filled me right there in the front of that truck. That's the truth. And boys, the Spirit of God prompted me to reach out and pull down the sun visor. And just grab that sun visor and pull that thing down. You know what? I couldn't see that billboard at all. Couldn't see the traffic light either, but who cares? I figure when that guy goes, I'm going with him. I hope it's green because he and I are going through here together. And see, brother, look at me. I drove through that traffic light with a pure heart, with a clean heart, with a pure mind, with a clean mind. Not because I'm some amazing, phenomenal, super Christian, but because I am indwelt by the Spirit, and in real time I can be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in the inner man. We call that being full of the Spirit. That's what he's praying about here. I want you to have that kind of relationship with the Spirit of God is what Paul's praying about. Is he that real in your life? So I don't know what to say here. Pray about it. The Spirit of God is real. I'm struggling in this area. Pray about it. The Spirit of God is real. You ought to be full of the Spirit. How many of y'all got that one? You got that one? The next verse says, you ought to be full of Christ. I don't want to preach that one again either, but you got to do it because it's in the text. If you put it all together, that you would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell means move in, move in. He wants to move into your heart, your thinking, your emotions, your decisions. Jesus wants to be real in your life. How many of y'all agree? You ought to be full of Christ. Don't you agree with that? Jesus ought to be so real in your life that your life is His life. Your words are His words. Your reactions are His reactions. Your responses are His responses. Your victory is His victory. That's a Bible truth. And I don't know that I can fully explain that to you. How many of y'all know? Sometimes you have to experience something to fully understand it. How many of y'all know that? It's like parenting, isn't it? How many parents are in the room? How many kids we have? How many of y'all have kids? Let me see your hand if you have kids. Remember before you had them? Because before you, some of you got so many, you don't remember what that's like. Before you have kids, you'll say dumb things, won't you? When you don't have children, you'll say things like this. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't put up with that for 5 minutes. Isn't that funny how you say things like that? And then you're right, because you have kids. You don't put up with it for 5 minutes. You put up with it for 19 years. Isn't that right? Experience changes everything, doesn't it? Think about that. You say, before we had kids, I'd say things like this. I'd say, my kid would never do that. My kid would never do that. And then we had Matthew. And I'm serious. He's a youth pastor, and he's a great young man. He loves the Lord. But I'm telling you, you ask Bethany, our Matthew did everything we said our kids would never do. And he'd take a spanking. His whole deal was, it's worth the spanking. Bring it on. And the kid was a mess. Now, he made us laugh. Thankfully, he was funny. If he hadn't been funny, he wouldn't be here probably. Because he was number three, and he was so much work that one day we had our three kids out somewhere like a Walmart or a mall or something, and this lady said, oh my goodness, how many kids you want? And with my sincerity in my heart, I said, two. Because he was a lot of work. Y'all follow me? See, so you can say, well, I know parenting, I know how to parent, but you better be careful because experience changes all that, doesn't it? So here's what the Bible's saying. Doesn't this sound good on paper? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? But the point is, not just knowing it, God wants you to experience that. God wants you to come to the place in your Christianity to where Jesus Christ dwells in your heart. Your thoughts are Christ's. Your emotions are controlled by Jesus. the decisions of your life are controlled by Jesus Christ. It literally is the idea of those bands everybody's wearing. WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? There's actually maybe a better question. Our culture probably ought to use a different question. And maybe the better question is, what does the Bible say? Because what would Jesus do can be arbitrary. Well, I feel like he would do this. Well, I feel like he would do that. But the Bible is just straightforward, clear for everybody. What does the Bible say? See, if Jesus is going to dwell in your heart, you're going to live on full. You can live on empty. A lot of people do, just barely surviving. Lose my temper. Well, that's just how I am. I worry. That's just how I am. Or you can be full of the Spirit, or you can be full of Christ. And what the Bible's letting you know here, this is victory. Victory, victory is when you're living on full, the fullness we need, full of the Spirit and full of Christ. Are you experiencing that in your life? That the Word of God is working in your heart in such a way you're getting to know it? When's the last time you said, I don't know what to do here, better get my Bible? I don't know about that or not. Better get my Bible. Teenagers ask me often at camp questions. Teens will find me at camps or at a youth conference, and they'll say, hey, Brother Young, and they'll ask me about some issue. They'll be like, what do you think about that movie? What do you think about that group, that band? What do you think about that video game? Pastor, I get questions like that all the time. And there was a time in my ministry when I tried to answer all the questions. I tried to be aware of this band, this is what they do, and this is what they say, and this is how they live, and this video game, this does this, and this does that, and I tried to keep up with it, but I got a problem. I'm getting old. And every time I'd figure something out, our culture would change it to something else. And one day God used that to help me realize, why am I answering all these questions with my opinions and my observation? I say to teenagers now, teens, if you came to me and you said, Brother Dave, what do you think about this video game? I would probably say to you this right here. I'd say, why are you asking me? And the point would be this. Don't ask me, don't you have a Bible? This one's tricky if you're a teenager. Don't you have a brain? So I'd say, don't you have a Bible? Don't you have a ring? And you know, teens, we joke about that, but you teens can think. You know what real victorious Christianity is for you teenagers? When you go to the Word of God consistently to say, what does God's Word say and how should I live my life? Teens, mom and dad have the right to tell you what to do. Thank God if your mom and dad are saying, you can't do that and you're going to wear this and you can't go there and you can't watch this and you're going to do right, because if you don't, you're going to meet Jesus. Thank God if you have parents like that. But can I tell you something? There's got to come a time in every Christian's life when we say, you know what? God, I want to live for you. So you got to take your word and help me to be full of the Spirit. Help me to be full of you, Jesus, so I can live in victory. Are you living like that? See, if you're not, you're living on empty. No wonder we barely survive. No wonder we're so down so easily. No wonder we're so easily frustrated. I'm running out of time, aren't I? You've got to be full of the Spirit and full of Christ. And number three, full of love. You want to live on full? You got to be full of love. Look how he says in the text. He said in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Do you find that funny? Do you find that humorous? Paul said, I want you to know the love of Christ that you can't know. I'm like, all right, Paul, what are you talking about? Because he says right there that you would know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. What he's saying right there is that none of us have arrived. That's one way to look at it. No matter how much you know of the love of God, how many of y'all know this? There's always more, because his love is higher than I can think and wider than I can think and deeper than I can think. No matter how you slice it, the love of God is absolutely astonishing in its length and its breadth and its depth and its height. My goodness, God loves you. Do you know that tonight? I said, my goodness, God loves you. Do you know that tonight? You're a sinner and you don't deserve heaven, but he loves you. I'm telling you, he loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with a perfect love. You may have never been saved, but I want you to know tonight the God of heaven is a God of love, and he cares about you, and he's absolutely willing to forgive your sins and bring you into his family if you'll come through Jesus Christ to him. every single time. If you're willing, he loves you that much. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. None of us deserve to go to heaven. None of us deserve to know God. But Jesus paid it all. You're so loved by God. Jesus died for your sins and paid it all. If you'll come to God through Jesus Christ, he'll forgive all your sins, give you everlasting life. Isn't that shouting ground? That's how I got saved. I came to God through Jesus Christ. He washed away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. He washed away my sins. He took away my sins. He gave me everlasting life. That's the love of God. Did you know that you're supposed to live your life full of the love of God? You're to live on full of love. Chew on that a moment. How many of y'all know that this is about our relationship to God? Did y'all know that? Full of love is number one about our relationship to God. What's the greatest command in the Bible, church? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, help me out, with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. You are to love God. That's the greatest thing in the Word of God. You're to love God. Greatest command. But how y'all doing? Could you honestly say, I love the Lord? I love God. He's number one. Why you go to church on Sunday night? Because my friends are there. Or do you go to church because, oh, I love God? Why have family devotions? Well, because I love the Lord. Why I read my Bible every day? Because I love God. Why do we sing at church? Because we love God. Wasn't that beautiful tonight seeing these kids up here quoting all these verses? Isn't that beautiful? My goodness, that just blessed my heart. I just love to see boys and girls hiding God's word in their heart. You know why our kids ought to learn the word of God? Because they love God. That's why they ought to do it, because they love God. Lord, I love you. You're good. You're real. I love you. Love is an amazing thing, isn't it? How many of y'all believe in love, don't you? How many of y'all feel like you're loved tonight? Anybody here feel that? I hope you do, because if you don't, I can tell you this, God loves you. And I'll tell you what, you're surrounded by people here that love you. You may not feel it, but love is real and it's true. You are loved tonight, and you ought to be full of the love of Jesus Christ. Start out by loving God. Start out by loving each other. We're to love God. What's the second command? The second great command in the Bible. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You're aware, aren't you, that the love of God's all over the Bible. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The Bible says in Philippians 1:9, we are to abound in love. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, we're to be fervent in love. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, we are to walk in love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we are nothing without love. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, if we don't love, we don't know God, for God is love. And the Bible even says in the book of John 13:35, you know that one? By this shall all men know you are my disciples. How will the world know that I'm a follower of Jesus? Well, Jesus said, if you carry the biggest King James Bible in the church, that's how the world will know you love Jesus. No. How does the world know I love Jesus? Because I go to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's important. He didn't even say that. How will the world know that I love Jesus? Jesus said, here's how. He said, the world will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, church, you know this, don't you? I get the impression y'all have a pretty great church. I get that impression. I mean, the singing's been off the charts today, hadn't it? Choir was exceptional. There was a lot of young people in the choir. That was a blessing to me. The young men sitting on the front row listening to me preach. I look so good, they want to get as close as they can. And I'm impressed by that. God bless you, boys. God bless you for that. And look at us. Sunday night in a fairly comfortably full auditorium. And over there's a whole bunch of boys and girls learning the Word of God tonight. Y'all have a great church. But you know something? Don't ever stop loving each other. You're to be full of that. You're to care for each other. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that what love's about? I care about you and I care about your needs and I care about your desires. I spend time with you. In our busy, fast-paced culture, sometimes we forget to love. When's the last time you had somebody in your home because you love people? Just, you know what? Just, we'll spend time together. You'll find all of the Bible, Jesus ate with people. Don't you love that? I love that verse. It says they got mad at him because he was eating with sinners and publicans. Well, invite some fellow sinners to your house and have a meal. He ate with the publicans. That's not Republicans. You know that, don't you? That's a different word. But here's the point. Jesus ate with people. You find that all the time. Hospitality. Eating with people is a blessing, isn't it? Encouraging each other, strengthening each other. Well, we ought to love each other. Say it. Show it.
care about each other, encourage each other. Our world is addicted to our phones, but put them down, shut them down, turn them off. So here and there, and love other people. Say it in your family. Make sure, kids, you love each other. Boys, if you got a sister, love your sister. That's Christianity. Make sure she knows it. Say it. It's all right, son. Say it. I just want you to know I love you. Tell her she's pretty. She'll faint, but tell her anyway. And see, that's just love. We're to be full of love, church. We're to care about each other. We're to love you. This we're to be full of Christ. We're to be full of the Spirit. We're to be full of love. That's about our relationship to God, isn't it? That's about our relationship to each other. I'm closing. That's about our relationship to a world that needs the gospel. What am I to do? I'm to love this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm constrained by the love of God, is how Paul said it. I'm to look around this world and love them and care about them. Our neighbor down the road, Jesse, bless his heart, Jesse's our neighbor. And I met him because his dog got out of the backyard fence and in a storm got scared to death, ran into my yard. And every time it thundered and lightened, that dog would yelp and the dog was soaking wet. I ran outside, opened the garage door and called him in. The dog ran into my garage, got water everywhere. I closed the door and I had myself a new dog. And I didn't want that dog, so our family brainstormed. I know we've seen that dog and oh yes, that new neighbor, or that neighbor just bought that new house down there with the pool. That dog was in their backyard, I'm pretty sure. I drove down there. That's how I met Jesse. Oh my goodness, he said, you got my dog. I'll come get it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Showed up in my yard. We talked for an hour. Never met this guy before in my life. He doesn't know the Lord, but he's interested. That was 6 years ago. Well, over the last 6 years, you know what I've done? I've knocked on his door. I've tried. Put him on my daily prayer list. He's on there. Jesse's name's on my daily prayer list. I've tried. Christmas, December, a year ago, we're walking one morning, walking. And here he came down the road, his big old four-wheel drive, dually pickup truck, you know, one of those big ones. Jacked up a little bit, you know, raised up. And he could have had a get her done sign in the windshield. One of those kind of trucks. Came running down the road and he rolled his window down. I couldn't see him, but I jumped up on the side and looked in. He said, I don't know if you crack me up. I jumped over and looked in. He said, do you still go to church? Well, you could say that. Most not, somewhere. He said, good. He said, I'm going to church with you Sunday. And you'd think I've been praying for him for 6 years. You'd think I'd had more faith. He said, going to church with you Sunday. And I said, you are? And then I felt a little sheepish about that, for crying out loud. I've been praying about this. And sure enough, he did. And his wife had left him. And that shook him up. Well, you know what? He got saved about 6 weeks after coming to our church. He got saved. His little boy got saved. His little girl made a profession of faith. He's got a long way to go. We were talking about Pastor and I prayed for him Wednesday night. I was home Wednesday night in my church, and we prayed for Jesse. We're both neighbors of Jesse's, and Jesse's not yet saved. But you know what? I don't know much about this guy, but it really is amazing that I get to love him. I do like him, too. For one thing, he's got a fishing boat. Now I don't have to buy one. My new convert's got a fishing boat. Isn't that shouting ground? Isn't the Lord good? See, now here's the whole deal. Watch this. I get to love him. This neighbor down here, we've seen his son saved. His name's Anthony, and he's not saved. We get to love on these people. They need Christ in their life. Anthony, I've known him for 12 years, 13 years now. And I went by his house not long ago and pulled up in the driveway and rolled down my window. He's standing outside, and I said, hey, should I stop coming over here and talking to you about Jesus? He put his beer can down, put his finger in my face and said, whatever gave you that idea? Just like that. I said, well, you've never come to church with me one time. I've tried every way in the world to get you to come. You haven't come. He said, let me tell you something. I know I need to be saved, and I know I'm on the road to hell, and one of these days I plan to get saved, and when I do, I'm coming to your church, all right? I said, how about Sunday? I mean, you might as well jump in, don't you think? Why, he's still not saved. But you know what? God's given us the privilege of loving people like that. We're not to live on empty, self-aware, self-focused, barely surviving church family. Why, there's a world around us that needs Christ. They don't know our Lord. They don't have the peace of God. They don't have forgiveness of sins. I'm to be so full of the love of God that I'm surrounded by a world that needs Christ, and I'm aware of that. I care about them. I love people and care. We've had our neighbors in our home on more than one occasion to build a relationship, have a meal with them. Why? So we can have an impact. We've not won all of our neighbors to Christ, but the one across the street won him to Jesus. He came. He was a drunk. But he came to our church. He came to hear me preach on a Sunday morning and got saved. He got saved. Michaela across the street, our neighbor's granddaughter, spent a summer with him. We led her to Jesus. She got saved. Listen, you get the chance of loving your neighbors and loving the world around you. Are you running on full or are you living on empty? Are you just barely surviving, or are you full of the Spirit of God and full of Jesus Christ and full of love? And here's the last one. Do you see it in the text? Right there, and we're done. Because he says in verse 19, that you might be filled. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about that. Four things he says there. You and I ought to be full of the Spirit and full of Christ and full of love and full of God. You mean I'm a Tennessee kid, grew up on a farm, and I can be full of God? Yes, sir. That's exactly what the Bible says. You can too. Teenagers, you can be full of God. That's what the Bible says. Paul prayed about that. My goodness, what a lesson for me and you tonight. We ought to live on full. I'm done. How are you doing? Put this on the screen. Look at this next slide here. Look at this. All right, victorious Christianity is living every day on full, filled with all the fullness of God. So here's our third decision in this revival campaign. Here's our third decision. Lord, I want to live my life filled with all the fullness of God. That's what I want. I want to be full of the Spirit. I want to be full of Jesus Christ. And I want to be full of love. I want, when I die, I want people to say about me, tell you one thing about him, he sure loved God. I want my neighbors to know that Dave and Beth Lee Young love God. I want my Abby and Josh and Matt and Jake and Charity to know, boy, Daddy sure loved God. I want to be that full. And I challenge you to be as well. So if you were in Sunday school, we said, Lord, help us to be full of the Spirit. If you were in the morning service, we said, Lord, help us to be full of Christ. Help us to grow spiritually. And tonight I'm asking you, as we kick off this revival week, Lord, help me to be filled with all the fullness of God. What a way to live. Would you stand to your feet and bow your head and close your eyes? Stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Switch me to the pulpit mic, would you, brothers? Switch me to the pulpit mic here. My wife's going to come to the piano. She's going to play our hymn in just a moment. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you would be honest tonight and say, Brother Dave, so often in my life I'm running on empty. So often in my life I'm running on empty, but I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. I need to be full of love. I want to be full of the Spirit. God's speaking to me in this revival. I want to live on full. Pray with me about it. Lift your hand tonight. Let me see it, would you? I want to live on full. That's how I want to live. Now, I'm going to challenge you to pray about it tonight. It might be good for you to kneel. Paul began this prayer by saying, I bow on my knees. Sometimes we ought to kneel. Some of you have been living on empty for some time. You're down. You're discouraged. You're still in. You're still doing right, but you've been running on empty. It's time to get filled. I urge you to kneel for prayer. The first time she hits the first note, hit the aisle and find a place to kneel. Is there anybody in our service tonight who would say, Dave, I've been thinking about it. I know that Jesus died for my sins. I need to get saved. I've been thinking about it. I want to get saved. Pray for me. I want to know God through Jesus Christ. Lift your hand if that's you tonight. I'm going to pray for you. I want to be saved through Jesus Christ. I need that. Pray for me. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Anybody at all? Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Anybody at all? Now, Lord, help us tonight to have revival. What Paul prayed 2,000 years ago is exactly what we need. We need to be full. Help us to be full. Help us to live our lives full. Oh, Lord, we need you. We can't do this on our own. So help us tonight, I pray. Bethley's hitting the first note. How many of y'all kneel for prayer? Okay, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with Jesus. Fill me with love. Just fill me with love again. Fill me. God, I feel like I'm running on empty all the time. Fill me. Fill me. Strengthen me. Oh, Jesus, live through me. I surrender it all to you. I want you to have me. Oh, Lord, fill me. Help me. Strengthen me. Use me.